Good morning. It's so nice to be here at the YU Kolel's Women's Yom Iyun. My name is Tema Taxer, and today we're going to be speaking about Anava, humility, the gateway to greatness. And I thought about this topic because right now we're in the middle of the 3 weeks, the time that the anticipation and the mourning of when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And we all know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed due to Sinas Chinam, because Klal Yisrael were not behaving kindly one to another. So it's during these weeks that we focus on how we can improve our midos, our character traits, and to become more refined. In addition, the parshios that we've been reading week after week in the summer months all have this golden thread of reflecting the midah of gaiva, of arrogance, and we learn from it how we should be more of an anav, more humble. We see the meraglim, and that we suffer so greatly because we were in the midbar for 40 years because of their actions. Korach, who felt he was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, wanted to take over, he also suffered and was punished. And then we have the parsha from last week of Balak, where Bilam was told, do not curse the Jewish people, and he didn't care what God had to say, and he did it. He wanted to do it anyway, although God foiled his plans. So first we need to discuss, where do we see the prohibition of arrogance in the Torah? Because most midos, most character traits, they're not mitzvot. Is that a mitzvah? We're not commanded to have zrizos, to have an excitement and joy to do mitzvot. We're not commanded, don't become angry. It's almost like it's an underlying understanding. It doesn't have to be told. We don't wake up in the morning and say, okay, everyone, let's breathe. No, it's just what we do. It's how we conduct ourselves. And then on that foundation is where the mitzvot are built. Except for this mitzvah. This mitzvah is unique in that there are sources that it is indeed a mitzvah in the Torah, that to not to be arrogant. So where do we see it? The source comes from Devarim, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav. And the Pasuk states, Bilti rom levavi me'achav. He will not then become superior to his brethren. Ubilti sur min ha-mitzvah yamin u'smol. He will not sway left or right from the mitzvah. Lama'an yarichin yamecha amal huso v'hu ubanav v'kerav Yisrael. He will not go left or right from the mitzvos, and because of that, his kingdom will rule and he and his children within Klal Yisrael. This is talking about the mitzvos given to the king of the Jewish people. We know that a king has specific mitzvos that the rest of us do not. He cannot acquire too much wealth. He cannot acquire many horses. He cannot have too many wives. And he is told that he cannot elevate himself above the people. The Ramban has an interesting explanation about this mitzvah, with this pasuk. Lebilti rom levavo me'achav, that his heart will be superior to others. Nirmaz kan b'Torah isur ha-ge'ut. It is significant here that this is the isur, the prohibition against arrogance. Ki ha-katuv yimnaz ha-melech me'ge'ut u'ramamut le'bav. The pasuk says that a king should not elevate himself above his brethren. V'chol shekein ha-acherim she'einan ruyim l'kach. And how much more so for everyone else who don't have his privileges? Because we know that the king is the ruler. He is the one who makes the decisions. He controls, and yet he is told, you are not greater than anybody else, which is pretty remarkable. Ramban goes on to quote different psukim, and he says, there's a pasuk from Mishlei that Geut, that arrogance, to'eva Hashem kol gavali. It is an abomination to Hashem, anyone who has arrogance of the heart. It doesn't just say you should not be arrogant. It says it's a to'eva. It is an abomination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hates it. He despises it. The Ramban then goes on to quote a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that states, Ki im bezos yitalel mitalel haseichel yodea osi. That to give praise and multiple praise only when you know who I am.
So who is that referring to? That in Yirmiyahu is referring to when we give praise to ourselves. So the question is, the Ramban just said, we are not allowed, we should not have arrogance. We give praise only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he is the one who is great and who is remarkable. And then he brings a pasuk saying that Yirmiyahu says that we can praise ourselves only when we attribute it, when we look at God's ways. So what does that mean? The Ramban is talking about clothing ourselves in royal clothing. He says that, he quotes the pasuk, Hashem malach ge'ut lavesh. Hashem is the one that wears the clothing of royalty. And when we do that, when we also clothe ourselves in royalty, meaning that we think we are great and remarkable and phenomenal, that is being moed b'malchus. That is rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, against his kingdom. Where do we see this? Where do we see this in the Torah or in Tanakh? We see this in the story of Megillas Esther. That when Haman says, "Come to Achashverosh, what should we do to someone we want to give honor to?" Haman goes on to say that we give honor to the one who is wearing, we want him to wear the king's clothing, and he should ride the king's horse and put the crown on his head. Achashverosh tells Haman, "Go ahead. I'll give you clothing that I've worn and get the horse." But he doesn't mention the crown. Because once you put the crown on your head, it's as if you're usurping the throne. And that is what the Ramban is telling us, is that when we have gaiva, when we have such arrogance, it's as if we're moed b'malchus, we are usurping the throne. But when we go on to say that when we have some feeling of superiority, but we connect it to remembering what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, then it is okay. Because we are saying that what I have, as Rabbi Brand just said, comes from him. Because when we remember that what I do have, and that is everything, health, family, life, children, job, money, it's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm not arrogant at all. Because I'm saying I'm proud of what I have. It's more of a joy in what I have, but I'm connecting it to the source. Rabbeinu Yonah also sees that the prohibition against arrogance comes from that same pasuk talking about how a king should conduct himself. And Rabbeinu Yonah goes on to say that one needs to extract gaiva, arrogance, from his heart. Meaning that there was arrogance there to start with. There's this feeling of self-importance. We all know that a child, when he's born, it's all about me. I cry, I need to eat, I want to sleep. It's all about the child. And then he needs to learn that there is a big wide world out there. There are other people to understand, that we need to share, and we need to take turns, and I need to stand in line. And then it goes, as we mature and progress, we understand that I am important, but you are important too. But because I have this innate sense of feeling important, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it there in my soul, it must be that I can use it for the good as well. Because anything we have in this world can be used for good and for the bad. And because Hashem has given me this feeling, this thought, I know that it can be used for good. So how can this gaiva, this innate sense of self-worth, arrogance, be used for the good? There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that states, Kol echad echad, Chayav lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. Everyone is obligated to say, the world was created for me. This Gemara does not say everyone should say, or it is a nice thing to say, but rather everyone is obligated to say, the world was created for me. Rav Dessler notes that every person was created with a specific, unique mission in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in Avodas Hashem. Nobody before me has had my mission. Nobody after me will have my mission. It is only I who can fulfill what Hashem wants me to do. In that sense, yes, the world was created for me. And my mission is so important that it was worth it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create the world and the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we have so that I can do what I'm to do to serve him. And we see this in the famous Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yudalev, that Hillel says, Im ein ani li mi li. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Hillel understanding that if I don't fulfill my mission in serving Hashem, nobody else can do it for me. There's a Gemara that states, Le'olam yihei adam anvasok Hillel. Forever people should have anava, humility, like Hillel. Hillel was known to be a tremendous, tremendous anav, of tremendous humility. But then there's a very interesting Gemara as well of what Hillel said. He said, Im ani kan, hakol kan. If I am here, then everything is here. Im ani kan, mi kan. If I'm not here, then who's here? That doesn't sound like the same person who said who we should be humble like him and who had so much humility. But it's the flip side of that coin, right? Hillel said, Im ein ani li mi li. If I'm not for myself, who am I? Im ani kan hakol kan, right? If I am here, then everything is here because I know I need to do my role in serving Hashem in this world. He's also known to say, Uksha ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I'm only for myself, who am I? Because I need to do my mission, but you all need to do your mission as well. My mission in Avodas Hashem is no greater than yours, and is no worse than yours. We all have our jobs. Now, my family and I, we went to Detroit last year on vacation this summer, and we visited the Ford Museum, and we watched cars being produced. It was really, really interesting. And they were being produced downstairs, and we were walking around, going to every part of the assembly line. And you saw people who spent their entire days screwing and screwed all day as those cars came on that assembly line. Another person would wash down the windshields, make sure that it was clean. Another one would ensure that the steering wheel was moving properly. Now, every person there could have thought, you know, what am I doing? This is such a small job. I'm screwing in a screw over and over again. I want to change the world. I want to make a difference. You can start feeling down on yourself. You know, what's this all about? But the truth is that when I'm driving a car and that screw is not tight, Rahman al-Islam, the steering wheel could fall off. And we all know what could happen then. So even though it's a small job, in the big scheme of the world, or the scheme of this job, every part is important. And that's how we need to feel about our Avodas Hashem. Sometimes you might feel that, you know, I'm doing my small part, but what difference is it going to make in the big scheme of things? But everyone's role is super important in the big scheme of things in bringing Hashem's Malchus into this world. The Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, also feels that gaiva is a prohibition from the Torah, but he finds it from a different source. Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramban feel that it comes from understanding of how a king needs to behave. The Smag finds this prohibition in the pasuk, "V'ram l'bavecha v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha." Your heart will be elevated, and you will forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because as we were saying, that one does not have success without it being connected to Hashem. And when I understand that it is Hashem who's given me these gifts, he's given me the tools, he's given me the opportunities, then I certainly can feel pleasure and joy in my successes. I don't have to say, I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing. We shouldn't say that, because that's not the truth. Everyone is important, but understanding it's not me who's done it, but rather it was given from above. The Smag sees the Isser, the prohibition of gaiva, coming as Bein Adam L'Makom, between man and God. The Ramban or Rabbeinu Yonah see it as Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, between man and his fellow person. Really, two sides of the same coin, that the attribute of gaiva is something that we should stay far away from and not have anything to do with, because it causes me to separate myself from people and from the Ribono Shel Olam. There's another Gemara in Sota that states, Kol Adam sheyesh bo geut ram ki'ilu oved avodas kochavim. Somebody who is arrogant is as if he serves idols. He's an idolater. Okay, this seems mighty harsh, because You know, there are a lot of negative attributes out there, and we work on all of them. We work on our not to be stingy. We work on to have patience. But to say that arrogance is equal to someone who serves idols seems kind of strong. On the other side, we know that there are three cardinal sins: gilui arayos, shpichus damim, and avodah zarah, idolatry, adultery, and murder. So to equate arrogance to serving idols, which is so strong, also seems kind of harsh also. So what is Chazal trying to tell us? Most sin is rooted in arrogance. I don't need to keep that mitzvah because I understand better. The consequences don't apply to me because I'm above that. I don't need that to be a safeguard. Someone else may need that, but it's not about me. And we see that happen to Shlomo HaMelech because he was told, do not have too many horses and not too many wives. And he felt that, you know, he understood why not. He's not going to let them bring him, let the wives bring him down or have trading relations with Egypt. He knew what to do. But at the end, it really did cause negative consequences for him as well. In Tehillim, and it's the first paragraph we say in Hallel, we say, Ram al kol goyim Hashem al Hashemayim kivodo. High above all the nations is Hashem, above the heavens is his glory. This is the ideology of those who believe Hashem exists. And he created the world, he put an autopilot, press go, and he disappeared. And the world just kind of exists on its own and just goes forward on its own. Hashem having no interplay with the people on earth. The Tehillim continues with another pasuk that states, Mik Hashem Elokeinu hamadbil l'ros b'shamayim uva'aretz. Who is like Hashem, who is enthroned on high, yet is designed to look on heaven and earth? That is how Klal Yisrael views HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created the world, and he is involved in every aspect of our lives. That is how a person who is filled with gaiva, he feels he is above other people. He doesn't want anything to do with them, right? Therefore, he says, okay, if I'm not going to be dealing with people who are smaller than I am, then God certainly is not dealing with people who are smaller than he is, and therefore he forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ultimately can become an Oved Avodah Zarah, an idolater. People who have anava, humility, understand Hashem is high, and the difference between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievably large, yet he's involved with us. He cares about us. So too, I'm going to be involved with everybody, whether I feel that they are my level, higher than me, lower, whatever it is, I will be involved with people. That promotes tremendous anava. We all know the famous pasuk in the Torah that says, "Va'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol adam al pnei ha'adam." That Moshe, the Ish Moshe, the man Moshe, was more humble than anybody to ever walk the face of the earth. But there's a Gemara that states, "Gadol mashne emar b'Moshe v'Aharon yoter mimashne emar v'Abraham." It's greater what is said about Moshe and Aaron than that which was said about Abraham. De'ilu Avraham k'tiv anochi afar ve'efer. Abraham said, "I am the dust of the earth." De'ilu Moshe v'Aaron k'tiv v'nachnu ma. Moshe and Aaron says, "Who are we?" When Klal Yisrael were complaining they had no food in the Midbar, and so Moshe and Aaron said, "You know, we're talking about the man," and said, "Why are you complaining to us? We're nothing. Go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu." So the question is, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest Navi ever to live, who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim el panim, face to face, asked Baklerium Ni'ira, he had a clear view of Hashem without any film, without any fog. He knew who he was. He was the leader of the Jewish people. He lived in the house of Paro and went right back to him and said, "I'm taking the people out on God's word." He knew who he was. How can he say, "Who am I? I'm a nothing. Who am I? We're nothing." The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu understood, because of his closeness to Hashem, because of all of the nevuah he had and all of the straight talk he had with Hashem, he understood how small he was in comparison to God. He was not saying, "I'm not a leader." He's not saying, "I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, he had no problems talking to Klal Yisrael, being forceful and strong, but in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he understood his place. And that's how he could say that I am nothing. So again, anava, humility, is not degrading ourselves. It is not saying we are nobodies. It is not saying I'm worthless. It is saying I am worth something. Why? Because I was created with Tzelem Elohim. I was created in God's image. But not just that, everyone else was also created in God's image. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm important, but everyone else is just as important. There's a mashal of two women who were very, very close friends. And they grew up together, went to school together, they were bridesmaids at each other's weddings. And it came to a point where one, I'll call her Sarah, wanted to give a gift to Rivka to show how much the friendship meant to her. So she wanted to buy a beautiful piece of art. And she went to many galleries and to stores, and finally she found something that looked magnificent. It looked wonderful. She saved up, she purchased it, and she presented it to Rivka and said, you know, I love you, you are my best friend, you've always helped me through thick and thin, I want to give you something. And Rivka was so touched. She was so grateful, she was so happy to receive something so beautiful. Sarah leaves the house, and she's feeling good about herself. You know, I strengthened the relationship, I did something really nice. And Rivka's husband comes in and says, what's this? And she says, oh, you know, it's nothing. I got a gift, and I know it's really pretty, but it's nothing. It's, you know. And Sarah heard, nothing? I spent my money, I spent my time, I put in so much effort and emotion, and you're calling it nothing? That is the same feeling we could give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rahman Litzlan, when we say, oh, I'm not so smart. I'm not so smart. Oh, I'm not so pretty. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us gifts, our intellect, our beauty, our creativity, our athleticism, whatever it may be. But we need to remember to attribute it to where it's come from. And that is what will keep us grounded. Okay, so now we understand what we have to do, right? We need to make sure, try really hard not to be arrogant, try really hard to act with humility and to walk humbly together with Hashem. But it's really a hard path to take. How are we supposed to do this? The Torah never gives us rules without tools. Whenever the Torah is asking something from us, it always gives us the opportunity and the knowledge to know how to go about doing this. In Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, there's a Mishnah that states, Ma'od ma'od hevei shval ruach, shetikvas eno shrima. Be exceedingly humble in spirit, for the anticipated end of mortal man is worms. The Mishnah doesn't say, be a shval ruach, be exceedingly humble. It says, ma'od, ma'od, very, very much, telling us something so interesting. When it comes to midos, when it comes to character traits, we always try to walk on the shvil hazahav, the golden path, derech hanimut ha'emtza'i, the middle path. We want to be in the middle. Not too extreme this way, not too extreme that way. Don't be too stringy, don't be too generous. Don't be too strict, do not be too lenient. We want to be on that middle path. Except for the midah of gaiva. Except for the negative attribute of arrogance. There, Chazal tells us, we need to be on the other end of the spectrum. Here is gaiva, arrogance. The middle is anava. Humility. And on the other side is shval ruach, exceedingly humble. We need to try very hard to be on the other end because it is so easy to fall back where we were. Why is that? Because when we're talking about gaiva, it's not about external items and things that I acquire. It's about me. It's about who I am. It's how I think. It's how I look. It's my inner abilities. So it's hard to differentiate me, being that I think it belongs to me, and that's just how great I am because it's who I am, and this is a gift given to me. So we need to be on the other extreme of gaiva all the way on shvav ruach, exceedingly humble. In addition, the Mishnah tells us because our end is going to be worms, meaning everyone is going to die at some point. Everyone is going to go back to the dust of the earth. Remember, don't become too haughty, don't become too elevated, because we all have that same end in store. Another tool that we can use to improve our mida of anava, of humility, is to always talk in a gentle voice, to talk kindly, to talk in a very delicate manner, because we can always get our point across, even if we say it in nice words, in a soft voice. It's interesting to note that we say we're raising our voice when we're screaming and yelling, because what we do when we yell is we're trying to intimidate the other person. We're trying to say, I'm louder than you, I'm stronger than you, and I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. This applies to relationships that we have all over, and also a relationship of a parent to a child. Because just because I'm the parent does not mean that I have the right to scream. I definitely can discipline, I definitely can say what it is that needs to be said, and teach and guide, but it needs to be in a gentle, kind voice. That promotes humility. Embarrassing to say, I remember when my children were little, and I was screaming, and I walked by a mirror, and what I saw was frightening. It was scary, and I said to myself, I don't want to look like that. It is intimidating. It is a bully type of look. I want to share with them what I want, and I can be unhappy, and that's okay, and they need to know that, but not with a loud voice, not with screaming and yelling. Another way to attain the level of anava is to think to yourself that I can learn from everyone. There is something to learn from everyone, because there truly is. Even if someone is not as smart, not as educated, not as knowledgeable, then I can realize that, you know what? I have more responsibility. Even though they're doing what they are doing, they don't know not to do that. Therefore, they have more zechuyos than I do. Because when I stumble and fall in those same areas, I have the knowledge. I know better. People who are smarter, older, wiser, I can learn from them. I can learn from anybody, anything. And that puts me in a state of anava, because I'm constantly learning from somebody. And I have the hakar satov, the gratitude towards them. We can follow the words of the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah to understand Bishvilini Braha Olam, the world is created for me, and the smog to say, even though I have my successes, don't attribute it to yourself. It really all comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a very interesting story told of Queen Elizabeth, and it was in her Jubilee year in 2005, and this occurred in January 2005 in the St. James Palace. She had a gathering of Holocaust survivors because it was the 60th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And there's a quote that says, punctuality is the politeness of kings. Royalty arrives on time and they leave on time. So even though people are still socializing and walking around, they will say, excuse me, but my time is over, and they will leave. Queen Elizabeth would do this as well. But at this situation, she stayed. And she stayed, and she stayed. And her advisors asked her, what's going on here? Why are you staying so long? And she said that she was listening to the stories of each and every survivor, and they were telling her what they went through during the war. And she didn't rush them, she gave each of them the time that they needed. Survivor was then asked afterwards, how did it feel talking to the Queen? And they said, 60 years ago, I did not know if I was going to live through the day, if I would be killed. And today, I am talking to royalty. They felt like they were on top of the world. This is true humility. Because nothing was taken away from the Queen. She didn't diminish her honor. As it says in Pirkei Avos, Ezu mechubad, who is honored? Ha-machabed et ha-briot, the one who honors others. That we rise when we give honor to other people. With humility, and it makes us more refined, and it makes us stronger. We talked about anava during the time of the 3 weeks, as we mentioned. And Be'ezras Hashem, because of our understanding of this midah, and of our working on becoming a little bit more humble in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, because that is the antithesis to Sinas Chinam, why it was destroyed in the first place. when this does happen, we will not say, look at what we did, look at how great we are. We brought the Beis HaMikdash back because of our actions. But rather, we will say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the great gift that you've given us, and this should happen in Heirav Yameinu. Okay. Any questions? Thoughts? Ideas? Yes?
How do you go, to me, in my mind, I always think, you know, you're talking about the extreme, that in terms of humility, you shouldn't be extremely arrogant, but you should go the other way, and I always think the other way is, as you said before, kind of feeling worthless. So how do you...
Right, so... You know, it's not, that humility is not feeling worthless, right? Humility is saying that I have value. I have tremendous value, but to keep it within a boundary, saying, but I know my limits, and I know where it's come from. And when I have to say thank you, attribute it to it, then it's not going to blow up. It's not going to, like we see, I was going to mention that we all know on Pesach, this is the ultimate time of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we left Mitzrayim, we became his people, we're subservient to him. We are prohibited from eating chametz, right? Because chametz is that which is elevated, has risen, which is tall. We have to eat matzah, which is the bread of humility. It's the bread of anava. The difference in the word chametz and matzah is very small. Chametz is ches mem tzadi. Matzah is mem tzadi he. Same mem, same tzadi in both words. The ches and the he are the different letters. And what's the difference between a ches and a he? An insy space. An insy winsy space. So we need to be so cognizant, because if I fill that space, I'm going to have gaiva, right? But it is not that I'm worthless. It is not that I'm no good. It's not, you know, someone else can be better at me at something, but I know that I'm good at a lot of things. And never to forget that part either. And I think that helps with being in the middle. Yes?
What I find difficult is when I'm angry with someone. In my head, yes, that person is also created with someone. But when I'm angry with someone, either for being thoughtless, for being inconsiderate, it's very hard, it's very difficult to see, you know, we're equal, because they're being really stupid. They're being
right.
Right. They're really, really mean. They're being, right. I don't know.
I think we don't have to like the behavior, and we can say that behavior is wrong. There's nothing wrong with saying that is not appropriate, you know, but to realize that this one behavior they're doing is really painful and hurtful to me, but there are many other things that they do that may be okay. So as a whole, they're not. It's not that I'm looking down at them, but I'm angry, and being angry is okay. Not to have anger consume you and to make it, you know, a raging fire, but to be upset about something and to work it out with them. That is okay. And you're not.
But then Rabbi Gelman, in one of his inspirations the other day, he was saying that the difference between and Ahava is the way to bridge that is through Tokoha, that you give somebody, you know, a Musa. When I'm so angry, I mean, the Musa that I want to give is, could you just stop being such a jerk?
Right. So maybe that the Tokoha should come, but when you're able to calm down. Not from anger, because whenever we do anything out of anger, my experience is that I always regret what I've done. Right? You have to calm down, be able to think clearly, and then you can say, you know, I value your friendship, but when you don't return my phone calls or whatever it may be, it really hurts my feelings. Because the relationship is so important to me, I needed to let you know that. Because.
So what about the person who's not even a friend, just, you know,
someone out there,
an acquaintance, somebody.
And you wouldn't talk to them? You wouldn't approach them?
I mean, you can't give to them. I mean, I don't know.
Right. I don't. You have to just try to say, okay, I'm sorry that they have this deficiency, and I feel bad for them, and try to look past it, I think. Yeah?
in order to give somebody tokacha, you need a relationship with them.
That's
so
true also.
Credits and
right.
Debits. And I work on this too, so it's like credits and debits. You know, you can't write a check.
Right. You need to know your place in
it. If you don't have it there. So.
You need to know your place in the relationship, and if they're going to listen, if they're not going to listen, there's nothing worth saying. You have to balance, weigh it out. Is it worth saying something, or is it not worth saying something? But again, that you know, what they've done was wrong. But as a whole, they're not evil. It's their actions. It's their action.
It seems kids now feel this sense of entitlement and this need for immediate gratification. Can you talk about how you teach kids humility and in relation to this, you know, this idea that Magia Week?
Right, right.
This whole,
yeah. Right. Yes, we all know this attitude. You know, I think that teaching them to give as opposed to always take, teaching them that when they ask for something doesn't mean they're going to get it today, doesn't mean that they're not going to get it, but doesn't have it immediately, and that to know how blessed they are with what they have. You know, my kids always say, I know, you know, why don't we have this, why don't we have this? And so they know, I know, I'm rich in Torah mitzvahs, you know. but to tell them, you know, look at what you have. You have so very much to be grateful for. So, you know, we don't need to get this right away. But there is tremendous entitlement today. Yes?
I think it's about setting boundaries with kids and relationships. And kind of, you know, showing your kids that, you know, what's needed here and now, and you don't need everything. You keep giving to them without actually showing them that you need to show gratification, and they're always going to want more.
Right.
So it's about really setting boundaries with the kids and any relationship you have.
Right, and to point things out as things happen. Say, so, you know what? Maybe we could have done this a different way. You know, when they're fighting with their friends, or you see when they say things to other people, you know, that shows a little, you know, cockiness and I'm so great. Say, you know what? Maybe you tone it back a little bit. You know, think about who you're talking to, and look how many wonderful things they do as well, and how you think it makes them feel. And you know, it's a very long teaching process. All right, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the seminars.